Hi, this is Ron Darling.
This is Skip Lockwood.
Hi, I'm Ron Swoboda of the 69 New York Mets, and you're listening to Mets Musings with Gary Mack.
Now it's time for some New York Mets baseball talk. Here's Gary Mack bringing you the latest news and analysis from Mets Nation and the world of baseball on another edition of Mets Musings.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Mets Musings. And I'm eating a little bit of crow this week because the Mets have completely turned it around. Unbelievable homestand that they had, going 5-1, including a sweep of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Team is gelling, coming together, playing some really good ball right now. Really terrific baseball. So everything is clicking. Starting pitching has been very good. Though I would like to see it go another inning or so. They still getting into that five inning, and like to see him go 6 or 7. The bullpen has been fantastic. The guys have been doing a job. Mendoza's been doing a great job, the manager, in manipulating them, bringing them in and out. David Stern sending guys down, bringing guys up. They've been trying to keep these arms pretty fresh, and the guys have been coming through. Reed Garrett's been terrific. Brooks Raley is off the charts good. Even Adam Ottavino's pitched very well so far this season. And Edwin Diaz, of course, he's been unhittable just about. Gave up a homer the other night, but had a little cushion there and did a good job getting the outs and when he had to get them. So the bullpen has been good. The offense has been good. Sometimes it comes about late in the games. They've been coming back in the 7th and 8th inning. That's okay. That's all right. And I noticed another thing that they have done is once they've got the lead, they've managed, at least in this homestand, they've managed to get those add-on runs, which are so important for the pitching. It gives you that cushion to, so the pitchers can just relax and go out there and throw their stuff and let the other team make contact and get the outs that they need to get instead of worrying about striking everybody out. Getting back to the offense, they have been making more contact. If you noticed, a lot of the scoring has been hit, maybe a home run. And we've always said that here, the home runs will come. You got to make contact first. And that's the key. And they've been doing it again on this homestand. They were terrific, made good contact. The one game against the Pirates, against that young kid who looks very good, there was a lot of strikeouts early in the game, but they came back late in the game, and that's the key. They started making contact, or if they got him out of the game, started making contact against the bullpen, and 1-2-3, they had the lead, and then added on, and that's what we want to see. That's what the fight is there. The grinding out of at-bats is there. And Chavez is really getting to these guys. He's getting the message across, and they're following it excellently. And so it's been a good week overall. Good play. Great homestand, as I said, 5-1. Tough task coming up as they go on the road to face the L.A. Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants. I'll have a little bit more on that in a little bit. But first, let's look at the injury list. Yes, there is an injury list, but it's not, it's not awful because they're playing well. So right now, if they can just maintain this, now they're over 500, 10-8, and just good news all the way around. But Brett Beatty, he departed Tuesday's 3-1 win over the Pirates with a left hamstring tightness, which he felt while trying to beat out a grounder in the fifth inning. He does not consider the issue significant, however, and he returned to the ballpark on Wednesday feeling better about the situation. The Mets were not that concerned, apparently, about it either, because they did not, you know, send him to get an MRI to see the extent of the injury. So it's just one of those things. He felt the twinge. Took himself out of the game, and precautionary measures, always the best, I would assume. So that's not all that bad. The Mets don't have a set timeline on Kodai Senga's return to the rotation either, though David Stearns talked to the press, said he expects Senga back not too far after he's eligible to come off the 60-day injured list on May 27. And Senga threw off the bullpen mound on Tuesday at Citi Field for the first time. So he's starting to throw off the mound and due to come off in another month, another 5 weeks. So we probably won't, we will see him another 6 weeks or so in June. But so far, this, the pitching has held up. Severino's been very good, as I said before. Quintana's, you know, he's been struggling a little bit this year, but Buto has been amazing. Hauser pitched very well the last time out. So, you know, there's going to be some bad starts in there. But overall, they've been holding it together and keeping the staff together, even without Kodai Senga. So he will be back, and it'll be a big boost because his guys start to get tired a little bit. We'll have a fresh arm coming in. And don't forget, David Peterson's coming back. Tyler McGill will be coming back. So it's going to be interesting to see which way they go. When these guys get healthy, I would expect McGill and Peterson probably to go to Syracuse for a while and keep working and see what happens from there. We're still waiting for J.D. Martinez, the designated hitter. We told you last week that he had a back issues, some tightness and soreness in his lower back. Well, the Mets are reporting that he will not join them on the West Coast trip. They thought he may be ready to go by then. But apparently now it's unlikely, according to manager Carlos Mendoza, that he would meet them on the West Coast. He only has been in two games with St. Lucie. He experienced general body soreness and tightness in his lower back. He received a cortisone shot in his back on April 9th and hasn't returned to a game since then. So he's going to still need some ramping up to do. I would imagine we may see him when the Mets come back from the coast. Keep your fingers crossed, but so far, even at the DH position's been, you know, not awful. DJ Stewart's been doing a pretty decent job. You know, they've been rotating the righties in it. Marte, Alvarez, when they want to give him a day off, they've been moving him into the DH spot. They've been doing okay, and like I said, DJ Stewart from the left side's been doing okay. One of the surprises this year also has been Tyrone Taylor, who's been getting some big hits, both when he starts and a couple of hits as a DH. So the DH has not been a big issue as it did in the past. And, of course, somebody's going to have to go when J.D. Martinez comes up. My guess on the roster move would probably see Zach Short go. I think I think it'll be between Wendell and Zach Short, and I think Short might go and they'll hang on to Wendell, but we'll see what happens when the time comes. The Mets have claimed the right-handed pitcher Michael Tonkin. Remember him? Claimed him off waivers, and left-handed pitcher Tyler J was designated for assignment. The winding path of Tonkin continued when the Mets claimed him off of waivers from the Twins, the team that claimed him after the Mets had designated Tonkin for assignment earlier this month. He was an offseason signing who made the Mets opening day roster, but he was later DFA'd due to a bullpen crunch. Well, he's back again, and the thoughts are he'll pitch in Syracuse, and then we'll see. You know, the way they, as I said, they've been moving relievers in and out and up and down and all over the place to keep it as fresh as they can, and so far it's been very successful. Grant Hartwig pitched a nice inning yesterday in the 9-1 win over the Pirates, so they are moving on with those players. Okay, let's preview a little bit. Let's look at the Dodgers versus the Mets. Not much to tell you. The pitching rotation will be Manaea, Buto, and Hauser. They will be the starters out there against the Dodgers on Friday night. Manaea goes against Yamamoto, the big free agent signing, who was banged around pretty bad in his first game, though he has pitched well his last few starts after that. The Dodgers in general have been struggling as of late. They got off to a quick start, 7-2, and now they've hit a bit of a roadblock and have struggling. Their defense is struggling a little bit as well as their offense, but the Mookie Betts, of course, is Mookie Betts. He's having a fantastic year. He's just an unbelievable player, and he's playing shortstop and second, and they keep flipping him between the two positions. Now, Gavin Lux was supposed to be their shortstop. He started off last year, as you know, in spring training. He tore his ACL and his MCL and just messed up his whole knee, had reconstructive surgery, missed the season, was ready to go this year, but he struggled defensively in camp. He was supposed to be the shortstop. They've since moved him back to second. Mookie Betts has played some short. And they have another guy, Miguel Rojas, who has played also some second and short. And when he plays short, Betts moves over to second. But he's played some second and they've left Betts at short. So they're a little confused who's playing where, but they've struggled as of late. Let's hope it continues when the Mets go out there and the Mets can take advantage. Washington was just out there, and I believe they took 2 out of 3. I may be wrong, but they grabbed the rubber game at least. And I think the Dodgers had lost 8 out of 11 games. So as I said, I think that number could be off, could be 5 out of 11, but they've been struggling no matter. But, you know, they're still on top of the West, and it's going to be a tight race out there, I think, this year. I don't think they're as powerful, even with Ohtani in the lineup. He's gotten off to a slow start for Ohtani, if you will. So that's something else to watch. Then they'll go on to San Francisco, visit old friends Michael Conforto, Wilmer Flores, who Michael Conforto playing very well out there for San Francisco, off to a nice start. And Wilmer Flores is his usual consistent self. So we'll get to see those guys when they hit the San Francisco team. But that's what we've got so far on the breakdown of the Dodgers and the Mets. So we'll be looking forward to that as they go out for the West Coast. And you know, keep in mind that the West Coast is always a tough trip for everybody that goes out there, not just the Mets. It's a tough trip. Thankfully, though, they did have played an afternoon game. They had a day off, so maybe they'll be a little well-rested, and we'll see how that works out for them. But it starts tomorrow. As we record this on Thursday, they will be out there for 6 days, and maybe the warmer weather will get them loose too. So, but like I said, they've been playing really well. All right, let's take a quick break and be back right after this.
Baseball and BBQ, your place for interesting baseball talk, opinions, and history.
Baseball and BBQ, your place for barbecue recipes, tips, and interviews from the world of barbecue. If you like baseball and if you like barbecue, then tune in to Baseball and BBQ. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and BaseballTalkRadio.com.
We're back, and it's time to go down on the farm. And it's this week as we go down for the first time to take a look at the farm. Pitching is some of the things we're going to look at. Here's four guys that I'm going to mention that you should keep an eye on. One of them is Jonah Tong. He has an absurd 21 strikeouts through two starts, 8 1/3 inning this season. He will have to work on his command and pitch efficiency. He's been, a little wild outside the strike zone, let's say. Only 61% of pitches are thrown for strikes, but he has become very entertaining to watch and a good prospect to follow. One of the best and the most dominant of the Mets' young hurlers this season is Christian Scott with Syracuse. He's opened eyes as a sneaky good pitcher who could make an impact in the majors this season. He's the Mets' number 5 prospect, and he's done nothing to refute that through the first 2 weeks of play. He has a 3.7 ERA and a 0.91 whip and leads the minors with 26 strikeouts in 14 1/3 innings. Over in Binghamton, a guy to watch, and we've talked about him plenty of times before, Blade Tidwell, club's number 10 prospect, is a quick start. In 2024, he's posting a 1.69 ERA and a 1.03 whip in his first two outings for the Rumble Ponies. And one of the organization's newest hurlers, Brandon Sproat, is with Brooklyn, and the Mets selected Sproat 56th overall last year out of the University of Florida. It was the second consecutive draft. They really like this kid, in which New York took Sproat, who spurned a third-round offer in 2022. Although the organization is cautious with his workload early, he has flashed mid-90s heat consistently in his first two starts for the Brooklyn Cyclones, striking out 10 and 6 2/3 innings, albeit with 7 walks. And that seems to be the problem with young pitchers. They tend to be a little bit wild, so they'll work on his consistency. He's still young. He's at Brooklyn, but all you people in Brooklyn, it's somebody to go watch and see. Mark Vientos is continuing his strong start to the AAA season, carried it right over from spring training. He's recorded at least three hits in each of his last two games. There's five RBIs over that span and is just playing some good ball. So Mark Vientos knocking on the door, making some noise. And could we see him too as well? The problem that they're running into now is that they really need a middle infield, a backup. And that's where Wendell and Short come in. In order to bring up Vientos, he kind of limits him because Beatty is playing good at third. So he's not going to see a lot of time at third. He's not going to see any time at first, really. If Martinez comes up, they have to cut somebody, which my guess would have to be between Short and Wendell. I don't think you can keep both of them. Taylor's playing good. Stewart's been hitting. Who else? Those are the only two options, really, that I can see. And they have to keep one of them because they need a backup at short or at second. And, you know, of course, they could probably go to somebody in a pinch. Maybe Beatty could move over to short in an emergency situation, but you still want to keep, you know, somebody that's more familiar with that position there. So that's the problem that they're going to run into, and that's the problem Vientos is going to face now. But we'll see how what happens. If he keeps hitting at this pace, you may have to bring him up and, you know, go from there and see. But he's off to a great start, and that's always a good thing to see. All right, so let's take a look at the minor league standings. Syracuse, they are at 9-7. They are two games back in their division and in fourth place. Binghamton is 4-5, three games back and in fourth place in their division. Poor Brooklyn, they're struggling. They are 4-7. 3.5 games back and in last place in their division. And St. Lucie also struggling and also 4-7. And they are three games back and in last place in their division. And that's the minor league report from the farm. And actually, that's going to wrap up the show for this week as well. Please hit the like and subscribe button if you're watching this on YouTube. If you're listening to the audio version, please hit your subscribe button. It helps you and it helps us. It'll help you know anytime a new edition of Mets Musings comes out. So, three with the Dodgers, three with the Giants. Keep your fingers crossed and remember, keep the faith, stay optimistic. And let's go, Mets. And I'll see you next time on another edition of Mets Musings.